Hey, welcome back to Mandated. Let's talk about it. This is your host, Selwyn Robbins, always glad, excited, ready and willing to talk to you guys about the things that are going on that I love to share with you. I pray whatever is being shared is something that you can apply to yourself and also something that you can share with somebody else that may be able to resonate with the topic that is being discussed. So in that, with the topic that I will discuss today, it resonated with me because it actually manifested this very day. But I'm not going to say any more at the moment. I just want to get that little quick word in. So before I talk about that subject, I just want to say this, man. My prayer for you this day as I'm speaking right now is that you really begin to see the great things about yourself, right? And this is what I mean. This world is easy to say everything that's contrary to a man because that's kind of how society has been going. But I encourage you that outside of what society is doing, what are you saying about yourself? Because it starts there. Despite what's happening in the world, it has to resonate with you as far as who you see, feel, and know that you are. Not everybody, as me or many other men around this world, may believe in Christ, but you may believe in something in the sense of knowing that you can be better. You can do other things. And I pray that you are able to do things within Christ Jesus, but I have to be honest, not every man that listens to this, that is in this world, is going to be saved. That's unfortunate, but that's the reality. But nonetheless, I still want to encourage you and strive to be what you need to be for those that you're attached to. And I have to say for myself, you know, going through a discipleship program, this is with the Christian Men's Network. The curriculum actually is called Maximized Manhood. And it basically goes into many stories, of course, it's scripture based, that's the foundation of it, but it goes through a lot of stories that Dr. Ed Cole had ministered throughout his time in developing this ministry, and understanding the call was so great for men that he created the ministry, and it is such a powerful movement. And I say movement because it continues to move. It's not stagnant. And it moves because men are seeing breakthrough in their lives. And it may be the simplest thing to the greatest thing, but nonetheless, we do not despise the day of small beginnings. But we count it all joy. Those things that are happening in our lives, when we start to see things turn around, each day that we're walking, that we have the chance to breathe again, when we see the fruit of the work that we put in, I'm telling you, man, it is so awesome. So I just want to put a shout out there for Paul Cole, who is the son of the late Ed Cole, continuing on this ministry, and his team and the leadership and board that are continuing to facilitate this great outlet for men. And just to let you know, there's the yearly men's gathering happening November 3rd through 5th. It's at Create Church in Richardson, Texas. You can still register on their website if you go to cmn.men. I believe the registration takes you over to the Brushfire event website to where you can register for the event. It's going to be a great 3-day powerful moving event, especially Friday night. What happens at these events is that the men, such as myself, this happened for me last year, those that have finished the curriculum and have went through the process to become commissioned with honors, there's basically a graduation ceremony that takes place on the Friday of the 3-day event. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful for men of any age that have went through the curriculum to see the fruit of their labor, in the sense of they have sacrificed this time between a year and a half to 2 years, sometimes even three, just based on their schedule, that they have committed to becoming better in themselves. And in that, they allow themselves to be better for their families. And it's a seed thing. It's a seed thing. What happens in me is supposed to happen in my family. So in that, you have time to register, cmn.men. All right. So this is what I want to share real quickly today. And it's awesome. I heard a word from one of the managers at my job. It was, I don't know this individual, but it was a conference call. He was a guest speaker. And I arrived on the call late due to my work schedule or whatnot, but I heard a very interesting term that I've never heard before. And it really incited me to get more information. So I set up a personal conference call with him about 30 minutes long. It was maybe a few days after this event. And I wanted to get more insight on what he was speaking about on this term. And that term is called wreck your silo. And that may seem counterproductive, meaning you have something that you're wrecking. You don't want to, and you know, we don't want to wreck anything that we have because it's ownership, right? Anything that we own, anything that we're in possession of, we don't want to destroy. But what he was actually meaning is this. Wrecking your silo relates to your skill set. Let me put it this way. So if you think about a grain silo that you'll see out in the country, it only holds one thing, grain. That's it, right? Or you can even think about it as a water tower. It only holds one thing, water. But specific to the silo in itself, it only has the capacity. It's only designed for that one thing. But you have to determine what that specific item is and what its need will be. So for the instance, in the agricultural community, grain, right? You can use that for the animals. You can use that for the household just as well. But that one grain provides nourishment, sustenance, livelihood for all those that are around it. And in that, basically what he was saying is, at your job, there's one thing that you may know how to do, right? Or excuse me, there are many things that you may be involved in, but out of that, there's one thing that you can focus on and develop, right? And in essence, he's kind of saying you becoming a subject matter expert, an SME. And when I heard that and the explanation in itself, I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to follow this. So for me at my job, you know, it's basically a very physical job, labor intensive at times, but we also deal with computers every now and then, or at least getting in touch with help desk. So for me, and programs that we have to utilize as well. So for me, it was vital that I got more involved in the things that were more computer based. Now, of course, this is aside from the other responsibilities I have, but I had to find a specific focus. So we ended up having, it was maybe about 2 years ago, we implemented a new system of measurement for the equipment that we work on. So basically it's a system or software that we utilize to help us determine when and or if we need to change out a certain piece of equipment, such as a motor gearbox, change out a bearing or a roller. And this is all based off the decibel level readings that we take. Well, in me being part of a team, meaning other techs that were designated to take these readings, naturally, something that you do repetitively, you get to know and become more intimate with it, right? And in that, because they see you spending more time with this particular software, they tend to come to you more often to ask questions and or get more answers, right? Because from a manager standpoint, they're not utilizing this as much as you are. If anything, they're pulling reports to see where we are in the process. But from a technician standpoint, we're taking the readings, we're seeing the results from those readings and making determinations on if we need to create work orders to get this particular piece of equipment repaired and or replaced. So, you know, time has passed on and I'm continuing to do this. Now, mind you, we have shift changes twice a year. So 6 months has passed and I'm on another shift. So I haven't been able to take part in getting these readings for our equipment. But this morning at work, one of my coworkers said, "Hey, have you spoken to this particular manager about what we're supposed to do today?" And I said, "No, I know nothing about it." And my fellow technician said, "Well, hey, we're supposed to be in a meeting with him and vendors for a new software that's going to tie into what we're actually utilizing right now. And it's an all-day training event. I was like, oh, okay, no problem at all. So we went into this meeting, and the day progressed on where we were able to sit down with the vendors, and our particular purpose for being there, myself and the other technician, was to give field feedback, because we're the ones utilizing the system. So we can tell them some of the things they may encounter, or that we encountered, that they may be able to implement and change so that the system can work a little bit more smoothly in what they're integrating to. And as I said, you know, the day progressed and whatnot, and it was awesome. It really was awesome. So by the time we left was maybe around 3:45 today. And at the end, my manager asked us, like, hey, do y'all want to go to dinner with us? And I said, unfortunately, I have a class tonight. And that was the Bible study group I had with my guys. And he said, okay, yeah, no problem. So, you know, we left, and, you know, that was the end of the day. And this is what I want to speak about here. You may not have heard this before. Maybe you have, but you need to hear it again. And it's that your gift will make room for you, right? And this is what I mean. That silo that you're supposed to wreck means it's the thing, the very thing that you're supposed to focus on. That's your gift, right? And the more you focus on it, that gift is going to make room for you. But let me add to this here. The more you focus on a gift is how much room is going to be made for you. So if you're only practicing or focusing on that one gift, maybe 20 hours a week, well, the door is only going to open so much. But if you're putting in 30, 40 hours, let's say, on this specific field of focus, that means the room enlarges. And this is what I mean. So I went into the room today because I worked on this particular item X amount of time or so many hours. So I was able to get into the room. But I wasn't just able to get into the room. I was able to sit at the table. And I want to tell you this, is that when you get into the room, make sure to be at the table, because your gift is making room for you. But it's also expanding the more that you know about it. Man, this was so key to me. It just became even more real today, is that I put in the work in order to be at the table. But get this, this is a plus to everything that is happening. I got into the room, but there was a plus, and this is what it is. The plus was that I was invited to the dinner. And many times we get stuck on the gift will make room for us, but we don't think about the addition to what is happening afterwards. So there's more exposure that's going to happen once you get into the room. So don't just limit yourself to thinking, hey, I've made it, I'm at the table. You're at the table, yes, because they saw you, they recognized you, they brought you to the table because now you have something to say, something of value that you can add into the conversation. But don't think that's the end of it. That actually is just a stepping stone for more that's supposed to happen. So I just want to leave you with that. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Once again, though you're starting small, believe me, those small things are going to add up to a greater and larger event in your life. So once again, your gift will make room for you, but your gift is only going to open a room as much as you grow your gift. All right, fellas, this was another leadership podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Please utilize it and continue to grow your gift.